Genesis 37 and verses 1 to 4. If we have it, we may say amen. Jacob lived in the land of his father's sojourning, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was pasturing the flock with his brothers. He was a boy with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now Israel, that is Jacob, loved Joseph more than any other of his sons, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a robe of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. May the good God bless the reading of his word. Bazalwane, this morning, I'm going back again to the issue of forgiving one another as we were studying last week. I'm continuing in this issue, Bazalwane, because, like I said, of the unwillingness for people to ask pardon from one another, their unwillingness for people to forgive one another. And Bazalwane, siphile esikhathini la wonke umuntu azibhekene khona, and ilizwi kaNkulunkulu asilibheki as much as we supposed to. And the issue lena, Bazalwane, of forgiveness or forgiving sins against one another, siyayibona it has become an issue of minor importance in the lives of people. It becomes an issue of minor importance ngoba asisakhulumi ngayo or asisafundisani ngayo. We don't teach or speak to one another about these issues. But Bazalwane, this issue, as we have seen last week, it is a major issue on scripture. The Apostle Paul wrote about this to us. Even our Lord Jesus Christ spoke of these things when he was teaching the Lord's Prayer. That he says, we say in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our sins as also we forgive those that trespass against us. So last week, Bazalwane, we have looked in the story of Jacob and Esau, the sons of Isaac, who were born from one mother and one father, and they were twins. But we have realized, Bazalwane, last week, the difficulty of forgiving. The reality is, forgiving a person is difficult. And it is almost impossible. I say almost impossible, Bazalwane, ngoba uNkulunkulu says it is possible. So, ngamanye amagama, if it was not for God, it was not going to be possible for us to forgive one another. Ngisho kanjani ke, we have realized last week, Bazalwane, ngenza a summary so that we can go through the story of this week. We have realized last week, Bazalwane, empilweni kaJakobe, Jacob cheated his brother from his blessings. His mother helped him to betray his own brother. Jacob stole blessings from Esau, and he was sent to his uncle Laban to live there. But we see a heart of forgiveness exciting lika Esau. But the heart of forgiveness starts when God speaks to Jacob, who has ran away, and say, I want you to go back to your people. In other words, I want you to go and reconcile. But then without reconciliation, we are unable also to stand before God as we are unable to stand before one another. Unless we are reconciled with one another, there cannot be peace or fellowship. Siyambona ke uNkulunkulu speaks to Jacob. Jacob respects what God says and become obedient. What does he do? He repents from his sin. He realized even in his prosperity life, he realized that he's got one thing missing, and that thing that is missing is to go back and reconcile with his father. Unlike the life that we live today, when we prosper, we forget the people that we have hurt before. But Jacob becomes a good example. He prospers, but remembers his sins. Do we remember our sins against one another? Are we willing to come to God and say, Father, I remember my sin. I'm willing to go and confess that I may ask for pardon. He comes to God and he asks God to do what? To soften the heart of his brother. That is Jacob asking God to soften Esau, so that when he comes to Esau, Esau may give or grant him repentance. I say Esau forgives like God, a picture of a Christ. As Christ has forgiven us, Esau tends to forgive his brother. Kanjani? Esau did not count anything that Jacob had in his hand and consider that to forgive him. Simbonile uJacob bazalwane athumela izimbuzi phambili nezimvu namakamela to try to soften the heart of his brother. But his brother did not consider anything in the hands of Jacob. He says, I only consider your heart. If your heart is willing to repent, as God also considers our hearts, there is nothing we can give unto his hands, unto him, that can soften his heart to forgive us. We can't buy. That is why salvation is by grace, is by the mercies of God. Meaning that it's something we did not deserve. That is the story that we have lived. But today again, we're continuing with this family, Isaac. Isaac being the grandfather now. Today we're looking at the issue of Joseph, who is a son of Jacob. Joseph, bazalwane, lasifunda khona iBhayibheli lisitshela ukuthi his brothers, they hated him because his father loved him more than them. But it says his father loved him because he was a son of his old age. Not that there was something special, only his father decided so. He's a son of my old age, I love him. And I love him more than my other sons. But his sons hated him. We're coming back again to these things that become sin in the life of people. Hate is sin. That is why the Bible is telling you, he who hates his brother, he is a murderer. So these people, they hated Jacob. And they started to develop a murder desire or a murder attitudes in their minds. Little Bible, they could not speak peacefully to him. Last one, they could not say shalom to him. Shalom is the way they bring along a corner, and a man along a corner as well. Let's say Jerusalem and all those kind of places. They could not say, may the peace of God be with you today. May the grace of God be upon you as you walk out of this house to work or something. The same shalom we must greet one another with. They could not speak those words. So they did not have peace in their heart against their brother. But these stories are different. It's stories of Jacobe, it's story of somebody who cheats his brother and come back and repent and ask for forgiveness. But what if then? Stories are today. What if then somebody do something wrong to you? Somebody hates you and do something wrong to you, and then he doesn't come to ask for pardon. That's difficult. We saw Sembonu Jacobe, he does whatever is wrong to his brother, he comes back, he asks for pardon. But now, how do we forgive a person who just do something and then doesn't seem to feel any remorse about it? There is no sign of repentance. You're standing and you're looking and saying, maybe this guy, his mind will come to him and realize that he has hurt me. But then he just carries on with his life as if nothing has happened. But he hates you. He hates you so dearly and so bad. Let's look at this story, bazalwane. saka Joseph naba aba forwabo. This is Bible, they hated him. But now, this is what has happened to them. One day, somewhere in the wilderness, his father, Joseph's father, that is Jacob now, their father also, sends his younger son Joseph to the field to look for his brothers who have been gone from home for some time. Remember, Bamzonda already, right? That is just nothing, according to them. But I said to you, hate leads to murder. Now they hate him. Then they see him coming and approaching from far. They start calling him by names. They say, here comes the dreamer. You see now, they've got names to call him. That's the sign of hatred. Once you've got names that you call one another with, which are not words that goes with peace, they can't speak peace to him, right? So they've got the word, a dreamer. Here comes the dreamer. But where does this word, a dreamer, comes from? The Bible last year, I was alone with you. One night, while Joseph was asleep, God revealed a future for his brother and him and his father through Joseph. Joseph had a dream. He dreamed one day, putting up sheaves. Niyazibona, babiza ukuthi sheaves in the Bible, but let me make an example so that nonke niyazi. Uthatha isithungu onsika utshani. Those mother abahlala emakhayeni, they know this thing. Usika utshani ubenze ube yinkathu. Babusika kube yinkathu, babophe ndawonye. Now umisa so, buyema like. Sometimes abum, it depends how you have cut it. Nangezingodo, with wood of this size, you can make the sheaf. Just putting together woods together, 20-30 woods, that is a sheaf. Inkathu leyo, bamakhaya bomama bayithwala. But Joseph have a dream, they all the sons of Jacob making this sheaf. Then they put these sheaves before themselves, and all the sheaves bowed down before the sheaf of Joseph. Zonke lezinkathi bazayane zawa phansi zithandaza inkathu ka Joseph. And Joseph comes to his brother and father, is happy, and say, I had a dream. Sheaves was bowing, your sheaves was bowing on my sheaves. They interpreted the dream correctly and says, you are saying you're going to be greater than us and we shall bow before you. But then they started to hate him even more. Then God gave him another dream for the future. He had a second dream. A second dream, he dreams the sun, the moon, and 11 stars. Bazolane, he had 11 brothers outside him, so there were 12. So he dreams a sun, a moon, and 11 stars falling before him and bowing down. And he comes to his father. He says, Father, I had a dream again. A sun, a moon, and 11 stars were bowing. His father interprets the dream correctly. He says, do you mean me, son, that is Jacob, your mother, moon, and 11 of your brothers, we shall bow before you and make you king? Who do you think you are? But Joseph doesn't make himself that. God reveals that to Joseph. But I'm building your understanding towards why they hate him. So all these things led these people to hate Jacob. Sorry, Joseph. So now, if you hate someone, what do? You start to have this mentality, the hostility between the two. They had a conspiracy to kill him. Benza I plan manje that they may kill Joseph. But remember, he has done nothing wrong. This man has done. Just imagine you have done nothing wrong. People just try and start to hate you. He has done nothing wrong. He has spoken the truth. He had the dream. And it is the truth that his father loves him. But they hate him for that. Then they made a plan to kill him, Bazalwan. So one day when his father sent him to the wilderness, they saw him. They say, we're going to kill him and put him in a pit. Mkotin. And one of his brothers says, no, let us not put him. Let us not kill him. Let's just put him in the pit. Then they agreed. Then he comes. They take out this jacket that his father has made. They put him in that pit. Then they take that. They put blood over that. They kill an animal and put blood. And they go home. They say to their father, Jacob, do you recognize this jacket? He looked at it. and he wept. He started crying because his son has been killed by a very dangerous animal. But meanwhile, his brothers has put the son, has put Joseph in a pit. Then one of them says, let us sell him. So now, his life is worth money to them. Can you imagine? His life, your brother's life, is worth money that you may sell him. It sounds like the story of Jesus Christ being sold for money. Actually, our title today also about forgiveness where condemnation is deserved also sounds like the story of Jesus, where we deserve condemnation, but he died on our behalf that we may be forgiven. So I'm saying today, we're going to learn from this Jacob how he has forgiven his brothers when they deserve to be condemned. How can we forgive our own brothers when we think they deserve to be condemned? For Jesus Christ himself has forgiven us when we deserved to be condemned. Put him in a pit. They decide they're not going to kill him. They sell him to Ishmael's people. Were of the tribe of Ishmael, then they were going to Egypt, so they buy Joseph. So Joseph is sold by his own brother. The same people that he trusted the most are the people that betrayed him. Remember, he has done nothing wrong. Put yourself in his shoes. We have done nothing, and your brother, they sell you, they betray you, they betray your father, saying you are dead. And they sell you to a land where they know you'll never come back from. They sell him to Egypt. And he's taken to Egypt and he becomes a slave because of his brother. He becomes a slave because of his own brother. We are driving towards forgive one another, right? But I want to make this thing difficult so that you realize what is it that God wants from us. What is it that God is expecting from us? He is in Egypt. He becomes a slave. In Egypt, in the house of Potiphar. He's put to tests in the house of Potiphar. But there's one thing that the Bible tells us, Bazarani, which Genesis 39 verse 9. Listen, Joseph remained under the fear of the Lord. So it was the fear of God that kept him going. Do we have the fear of the Lord, which the Bible says is the beginning of wisdom? Do we consider what God says to be correct and accurate, even when odds doesn't say, even when things doesn't look like it's like that? Joseph, little Bible, feared the Lord and did not want to do anything in Egypt that was against God. In his times of distress and misery, where he remembers how his brother betrayed him, he still fears God. The fear of the Lord does that and conquers everything. The fear of the Lord brings the favors of God upon a person. Joseph was favored by God in the house of Potiphar. Even when he was put to prison because of his brothers. I know it is because of Potiphar's wife, but Potiphar's wife was never going to meet Joseph if his brothers did not sell Joseph. So all these things adds to the brothers that betrayed him. When he sits in prison, he might be blaming Potiphar's wife, but at the same time he remembers his brothers that betrayed him and brought him into this foreign land, a land where he can't even speak the people's language. Remember, he has done nothing wrong. He was favored by God and loved by his father, but his own brothers betrayed him. Sometimes the people that you think are the people that will bless you become the people that curses you by working things against you. But Joseph put his eyes upon the Lord. So he's led to prison. From prison, we know about Zalwane. Just to make a summary of the story, he became a second person in charge of Egypt. Joseph becomes a prince in Egypt. But what happens, Bazalwan? God caused a famine in Dala, in the land of Israel, where his brothers and his fathers are. God caused a famine, a need for them to travel to another land to look for food. Little by little, they traveled to that land. 10 of them. They left one brother. Remember, there are 12. Then they come from the land of Israel looking for food. But we hear that in the Bible, Joseph was a prince at the time and he was in charge of selling the food. He recognized his brother. And guess what? They did not recognize him. You see, people who have done something don't recognize and take into consideration the things that they've done. They seem to take it out of their minds that they sold Joseph to Egypt. But Joseph can still remember them. Not because he got grudge unto them, but Pesolani, I'll prove to you, because he had love for them. But those that have done sin seems to forget their sin that they've done. Are we those kind of people that forget the sins that we have done, and we cannot come and say, I'm sorry, or pardon me, to your friend, to your brother, or even unto our God? They could not recognize him. And when time came, when Joseph came before them and said, I am Joseph, your brother, the people who could not greet him are the same people who cannot say sorry when he finds them and says, I am that guy. Because remember, first time he asked them, how many of you are at home? They say, we are 10 brothers, one is at home, the other one, we are 12 brothers, one is at home, the other one is dead. They tell Joseph that he's dead. They don't even say, the other one, we don't know where he went to. The other one is dead. But when the Bible, Joseph went out of that room and started crying in his own room. His brother saying to him, he is dead. The same way they told his father. They seem not to change their mind. They seem not to change their strategy in the things that they've done. Do we see how sin directs and controls the sons of disobedience? Especially when people are disobedient against their father. Our father is God. We still have fathers on earth. If we are disobedient to our own fathers and unto God, sin is in charge of our lives. They could lie to their father and say, your son is dead. While the Bible says, children, obey your father and your mother so that your days may be long on earth. They did not do that. That is a sign of cursing yourself when you do not obey your parents. That is a sign that they do not even fear God. But that is also a sign, Bazalane, of people teaming up just to brew badilisa, baka, bapisa, sin. If people are brewing sin together, they seem to stand together. But Bazalane, there is one little thing that I want to teach and say to you. You can do sin as a group, but listen very carefully. Repentance and a change of mind is expected from an individual to an individual. We can sin together, but our forgiveness, our asking for pardon, is a one-on-one issue. We can group and do things, but our sin will be asked on one-on-one basis. What have you done with your sin? Have you come to ask for pardon? That is the question that will remain at the end of the day. So now they come to Egypt with no sign of remorse. I'm saying no sign of remorse, because they even say Joseph is dead again and again. When Joseph say, I am Joseph. There is nowhere in the scripture where it's written that they said, brother, we are sorry for what we have done. Please forgive us. But they remain as they are. Is our heart so hostile towards the truth of scripture and towards the revelation of God that we can't come to one another and say, brother, I'm sorry. But now, what happens? Is this Joseph going to read this situation according to how his brother presents themselves to him? He's going to say, since they don't ask for forgiveness, then I'm not going to forgive them. I'm not going to grant them forgiveness. Is this the attitude that the scripture is teaching us as Christians? Is this how we ought to live? The fact that someone is not coming to you to say, I'm sorry, does that now give you the right to stand away yourself and say, as long as you did not say sorry, I will not forgive you? Does that now give us that right? Is that what God asked us to do? To see how our brothers and sisters act towards what they've done to us, then grant them forgiveness. But we find Bazalwane empilweni kaJoseph ukuthi Joseph, in his own life, realized that Bazalwane, forgiveness only, the lack of forgiveness, if you don't forgive others, it only causes you pain. What do you do? You want someone to say, I'm sorry, but it doesn't say, I'm sorry. And how do you continue now? And you can see this person doesn't even feel remorse to say, forgive me. Just as we are, as people, we are like that. Christ died on the cross for our sins. We are taught day and now, TV and everywhere. Even those that doesn't preach the true gospel, they also say that Jesus died at the cross. But people don't come to Christ for repentance and says, I'm sorry. They don't come and say, God, forgive us our sins. We are ignorant of the things that we have done. Our hearts are hostile. There is this unwillingness to ask for pardon. But how does God treat us? Does God now say, I'm going to wait for them to show that they are sorry and then I will save them? No, the Bible says that God sent his Son while we were still sinners. While we were yet ungodly and enemies of God. God sent his Son to die at the cross that we may be reconciled to him and not perish. But now, Christ says to us, it is important that we forgive. Why? Because it's a commandment that God gives that we may forgive. No, again, it is because Christ has forgiven us the same, so we should forgive one another. But how did Christ forgive us? He did not count our sins, Bazalwane. He did not look at the things that we have done and the things that we still do. Not that we must continue in these things. But he did not look on those things and says, on basis of what you are and basis of what you do, I will not forgive you. Christ Jesus, if we come to him and accept him and say, you are that Lord, he forgives us despite of what we have done. We see the same picture then, Bazalwane, in the life of Joseph. Regardless of what his brothers have put him, he works in his life in Egypt, working out to forget. He says in scripture, God has caused me to forget the misery that my brothers has put me. And he named his first son in Egypt, he names him Manasseh. Manasseh is an Egyptian name meaning forgetting. We can see Bazalwane is working hard forgiving his brother. And this forgetting, it doesn't say it is me taking out of my mind the things that my brothers have done, because that is not forgetting. But it says God has caused me to forget the misery. It is God's work to work in our hearts that we may be right before him and before our brothers and sisters. Unless God works in your heart, it is impossible for you to forgive anyone. So can we now open our hearts then unto God and learn from his scripture and to him how should we treat one another? He says, the same way as I treated you. How has he treated us? He has not counted our sins. He has not waited for us to show signs of repentance. However, when he says us, then he says, show me fruits of your repenting. But he didn't wait for us to repent and then save us. I'm saying God gives the grace first to us that we may see, in other ways, that we may see that we are wrong. He makes our hearts soft first. Because it is impossible for these hearts of stone to love and to care. But he makes that heart of stone to be soft. Then we see ourselves longing to hear the word of God and repenting from our sins. Then we say, today I am saved, but God has been working in your heart. Then we start and saying, the day I was saved, I did one. But you're forgetting that God worked in your heart, for your heart was hard as stone. Behold, I'll make your heart as soft and put the heart of flesh in you. That is God's work. So we see, Brother Rene, Joseph not waiting for his brothers to say, I'm sorry. He lives with them in the land of Egypt. They are unable to say, I'm sorry still. He names his second son Ephraim. The word Ephraim, or the name Ephraim, in the Egyptian way, it means fruitfulness. He says Manas is his first son. That is forgetting. The second one, fruitfulness. Bazalan, fruitfulness and bearing fruit is an expectation that God has for us, as it's written in his word in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Without us bearing fruits, we cannot continue in the ways of righteousness. We cannot show the fruits that we are God's children if we do not have kindness and brotherly kindness continuing among us. Brotherly kindness must continue among us. But that is the fruit that God brings. And Joseph says, my son, I will call him fruitfulness because I want to bear fruits. Is it our desire to bear fruits, regardless of the things that they have been, that people have done to me? But God still wants us to bear fruit. Regardless of your poverty, your suffering, your sickness, or whatever you think people they've done to you, God, if you are a Christian, is looking for a fruit, and the fruit that will endure, that will stand the test of time. He says, my son, Ephraim, is fruitfulness. Still, he lives with his brothers. He sent his brothers away to bring his father. And he provides a land in Egypt, Bazalwan, for all of them to stay. He provides food for them. The same people who betrayed and tried to kill him. The people who could not say shalom. The people who are not saying sorry. He provides food for them. Will we do that? Will it be possible for us to do things as such? Yes, it is impossible if you want to do it on our own. But if we invite the Lord and says, Lord, I open myself unto your word. Teach me how to forgive. Because, Bazalwane, this is a very difficult situation. Forgiving people what they have done to you is a very difficult one. Almost impossible. If it was not for Jesus, who died at the cross for us and taught us forgiveness. But you see, if you don't look at yourself and see how much of condemnation you deserved before Christ died for you, then you will not see how much of forgiveness you must grant to your brother. And you won't see why you should be obedient to the word of God if you don't know how much sinful you were. Also, if you don't know how much of condemnation or how much of the wrath of God that was standing and coming against you. Should Jesus have not died at the cross, where will you be today? Should Jesus not say, I know my own and I have others that are not in the sheep. I'm going to go and get them. Should Jesus not die and call us to repentance? Where will we be today? Do we understand the wrath of God? Outside Jesus, look at the people of Sodom and Gomorrah that faced condemnation. But Christ died for us. He died for the ungodly, that the ungodly may be reconciled unto God and be called the children of God. Now the issue of forgiving someone who deserves condemnation. We see the life of Jacob, of Joseph, Bazalwane. Later in their lives, while they were living in Egypt, in prosperity, now they're living under the provision of Joseph, his brothers. But still, they have never said, I'm sorry. But we can see the way Bazanu Joseph treats them, that he did forgive them in his heart. But he still remembers what they have done to him. It doesn't mean when you forgive someone, you forget what they've done to you. You must never forget that you forgave them. He did not forget that you forgave them in his heart. We are called to be fruitful, Bazalwane. Against anything. Towards whatever it may be happening in our lives. Maybe your brother has sinned against you, your friend has done. He doesn't show signs of remorse. But you are a Christian. You must live as Christ lived. As difficult that it may be, but forgiveness is expected. Forgive one another. Be kind toward one another. May brotherly kindness continue. Here the story continues. Jacob, the father of all his sons, he passed away. The day when he passed away, these 11 sons, they come to one another. They say, Joseph is going to turn against us because we have done wrong to him many years ago. So let us say to him, our father commanded him to forgive us. They don't say, let us go to him and say we are sorry. Bazalwane, just imagine again, they live in a lie. That is what happens when you live under the situation where you have not asked for forgiveness. They had to live in a lie. They say, it is our father who commands you to forgive us. Then, brother, we have sinned before you. Forgive us. They put their father first. But to show that Joseph has already forgiven them, he says, I will not condemn you, even now as I stand aright to condemn you, but I will forgive you. So they receive forgiveness instead of condemnation, as we also have received forgiveness in terms instead of condemnation. Even when they continue living their lie, Joseph provided for him. He says in chapter number 50, I will not condemn you, but I will bless you and your children. But even when somebody has done wrong to us, we still stand a right before God to bless that person. A right before God to bless his children. He says, I will provide for you in the land of Egypt. I will provide for you because you are my brothers. Yes, you have sinned against me. You did not even say that you were sorry. But still, I grant you forgiveness. This is the kind of forgiveness, Bazalwane, that God is teaching us. Where condemnation is deserved. Where people, they don't come and say, I'm sorry. Where there is no sign of remorse and repentance. The Spirit of the Lord should also lead us at the time still to forgive. And Joseph, if we learn right in his life, he forgave them when he got the opportunity to forgive them. And when is that? When we remember what the Lord has done to us. Then we remember, we get that as an opportunity also to look at the things that others do unto us. He remembered that God has been good to him. In the pit, they did not kill him. They sold him for slavery. And those people did not kill him. He was a slave in the house of Potiphar. God raised him as master in that house. He was taken to prison. God raised him as a master in the prison. He was taken to Pharaoh's house. God made him prince. You may not have all those provisions, but there's one thing that God has done to you. He has forgiven you your sins. He has forgiven me my sins, which deserved to be condemned. But he did not ask for anything that I can give that he may forgive me. He did not look and say, is there any sign of repentance? But he forgave me. This is the life and the story that we lead, the story of Joseph. We see his brothers, Bazalwane, continuing in their lives with their sinful attitude. They continue their sinful attitude because even at the end of their father's lives, they still sin and lie to their brother. But Joseph forgave them. As I close, let me put it this way. Sometimes people, they sin against us because people are ignorant. We also have sinned before God at times before because of ignorance, but that still counts for condemnation. So they were ignorant. They did not consider what God is saying. Through those dreams that Joseph dreamt, they did not see the hand of God or the mouth of God. God talking to them of the future that he was bringing. They shut their eyes and their ears, unwilling to hear. Build this hate. Build this willingness to kill an innocent body. We learn from Joseph Bazalwane because he's an accurate type of a Christ. We see Joseph being loved by his father. As God loved Jesus, he loved his son, but also he gave with his son. So Joseph, he's loved by his father. Jesus is loved by God. Joseph become the one who is hated by the people that he loved. Jesus becomes the one that also is hated by Judas and sells him. Sell him for money as Joseph was sold for money. So we read and learn from Joseph accurately because Joseph is showing us the life of Jesus, which is also expected to be the life that we live. We see Joseph being exalted in Egypt as Bazalwane, made prince, but still forgave his brother. When the Son of Man is lifted up, he shall call all men unto him. When Joseph was lifted up in Egypt, he forgave his brothers. When Christ was lifted up at the cross, he forgave me and you. When he became king or prince in Egypt, he did not forget his brothers. As Christ in his kingdom does not forget us. He called them from Israel, where they were, to come to the kingdom which he ruled at the time. That is Joseph ruling Egypt as his kingdom. We are also called from our filthy life and our sinful life to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And we were those that looked at Jesus like a strange person or something that is not worth my attention. That's how they look at their brother Joseph. They could not say shalom. They could not say sorry. But he called them to his kingdom. Our lives also. We did not say sorry. No one can say sorry enough. But he called us to his kingdom. And when we are in his kingdom, he provides for us. Instead of condemning us, he gave us the life, eternal life. Joseph, instead of condemning them, he says, I will look after you and your children. He gave them a portion of a land as we long for heaven also. Our inheritance, that is he, in heaven. Those houses that he says, I'm going to prepare for you. As we live and forgive one another, we look forward to that. As we see the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, we enjoy looking at that, for we know that our Christ, his word is true, and he will never fail. Brothers and sisters, whether you have sinned alone against your brother, it is your responsibility to say, I'm sorry. Whether you have sinned as a group, they've sinned against Joseph as a group, but since they believe in group discussions, that's where group discussions becomes dangerous. They could not come as a group and say, let's go and say we are sorry. So it calls for each and every person in a group to come and bow before him. Although when they realized that was Joseph, they started talking on the side and says, I told you, everybody's blaming one another. I told you we should not have condemned the son, this boy, to death or say he was dead. But after saying those things, they never come to Joseph and says, we have realized that we were wrong. They discuss in a corner. The fact that you realize in your own corner that you are wrong, but you not come forward and say you are sorry, doesn't make anything. Doesn't make anything right. But when they deserve condemnation, they found forgiveness. When we deserve our own condemnation, we found forgiveness. His focus was upon God. The fear of God sustained him. The love of his brothers sustained him. Brotherly kindness to him did not stop. That's why the Apostle Peter says, let brotherly kindness continue. The thing that brings more fights between Christians is the fact that brotherly kindness stops. The scripture says, let brotherly kindness continue. Let the unwillingness to forgive stop. Let the unwillingness to come and say, I'm sorry, stop. May we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. May we look unto Joseph, a pure example in scripture in which God wants us to look at and learn. May the good God bless the reading of his word, the preaching of his word, and your hearing. May we take steps to consider these things. You may not go through a situation now where you must forgive or forget. But maybe in the future you might. But it's also a reminder how Christ Jesus has forgiven you and forgotten your sins. He says, as east and west is far from one another. That's how he has blown our sins from us. He did not count our sins as we deserved. He did not punish us as much as we deserve to be punished. And now he has made his laws known to our own hearts. As we stand on our feet, may the good God bless you. And I pray.